You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Father, I need you. I pray that I'd be clean in my heart and I could deliver to these people, Lord, what is needed. I think of the great needs in this auditorium, so many that I've talked to today. They have children and grandchildren that are on drugs. So many grandparents are brokenhearted today as they sit here in this auditorium. So many are brokenhearted with the drink that's in their home. There are several that their husbands have left them, their wives have left them. There's turmoil with their family. There's work issues. And God, I pray that we would be helped from the Word of God today. In Jesus' name, amen. We have read the triumphant entrance into Jerusalem, and you would think that's where I'm going. I'm not going there at all today, though it took place a week before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You know, people are so fickle. I would like to say this. People are so strange. They honored God. They put branches down. They clapped. They are excited. And he came, and 1 week later, they crucified him. And he did it for you and for me. There's a passage in chapter 11 and verse 11 I want you to see with me today. This is all taking place in Jerusalem in verse 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem into the temple. The temple is preeminent here in this chapter. And you'll see the temple repeatedly. Jesus entered into the temple. You know, I want to just say a word and throw this in. When Jesus enters into the North Valley Baptist Church, I wonder what he sees. Well, he sees brokenhearted people and he sees sad people, but does he see sin? That's what he's going to see in his own house. He's going to see sin and it breaks his heart. The Bible says he entered into the temple. And when he hears our message today, looked around. When he looked around, I'll finish that verse in a moment. You know, over in 2 Chronicles in chapter 16 and verse number 9, the Bible says this, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he may show himself strong in behalf of those that have a perfect heart." God's eyes are wandering all over this earth today. God's looking for people with a perfect heart. I prayed again this morning. I prayed this week. I prayed that I would have a perfect heart before God. I'm so frail. I know my weaknesses. I know my sins. I know how sinful. I know all that. But I pray that, dear God, please, when your eyes come to Santa Clara, California, may they see a man of God. May they see a man that loves you. I want you to pray that be that man. Because God says, "I'll bless that man." And by the way, you'll get the overflow of the blessings of God on my life and on your life. I wonder what God sees when he says, he looked around. Go back to chapter 11, verse 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around, can you imagine Jesus looking around? He came in that temple. He never said a word. He just looked. And he looked in every section of that temple. He looked, if maybe there was a balcony, I don't know, like there is here. Looked over here. And he looked around. God's looking around today. And when he sees my life, I'm not talking to you right now, I'm talking to me. When he sees my life, is he glorified? Is he magnified? God said he looked around. About all things, he saw how they were worshiping. He saw how they were giving. He saw everything about them. Is that Jesse DeLeon back there? Yeah, glad to see both of you this morning. And he looked around and he saw. May look good to see you as well. And the Bible says he looked around upon all things, how that now the eventide was come. And he went to Bethany. Now Bethany's about 2 miles away. It's an easy walk, maybe in 40 minutes to walk those 2 miles. And he walked to Bethany, and the Bible says he spent the night in Bethany. And then he walked back the next morning to Jerusalem. But this time he walks back into the temple. He had been there the day before. He never said a word. He just looked around. It didn't say he talked. He did not say, I'm upset. He just looked around the temple, the place that where he should be worshiped. And he looked and he saw everything. God sees everything today. God sees my life 24 hours a day, 365 days out of the year. God sees Jack Treiber. He knows my down sitting, my uprising. God knows everything about my life. God knows everything about your life. He looked around, but he never said a word. The Bible says that, verse 15, they were come to Jerusalem. That's where the temple was. He went into the temple. He's back in the temple, back where yesterday, never said a word, but just looked. Just looked. You know, we sing about the wonderful look of love and his eyes full of compassion, but he doesn't have compassion in this text. He's very upset. Look what he's upset about. The Bible says, they began to cast them that sold and bought into the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry out any vessel through the temple. Let me stop right there. Jesus saw the filth. And that's the key word. The first thing that Jesus sees as he looks around the day before and he comes back in and they're selling and they're merchandising and they've abolished worship toward God, and he sees the filth and he is not happy. When God sees the North Valley Baptist Church, what does he see? I tell you, as your pastor, I tell you, I see a room of hundreds of people yesterday morning, packed, and they're getting gospel tracts to go door to door to invite people to Easter Sunday. I see a chapel yesterday morning, hundreds of teenagers, college age, packed, going out on bus routes and nursing homes and going out knocking on doors. I see a church that this week could be out. I see good things at our church, but what does God see? What does God see in your life? Ms. Treiber and I are, we've been here a long time, over 50 years now. We have tried to give our lives to the people of North Valley. We have tried to give our offerings to the work of God. I was sitting in class today, and my wife had her offering ready, and then they announced what the offering is for. She goes, I better write a check for that. And she wrote a check. That's the type of lady she is. She's a giver. And that's what I think. This church is such a giving church, going sowing and giving financially. We have had the most amazing year with God's people financially giving to keep this ministry going. We've had more churches. We started 400 churches in the Philippines, 400. We paid the pastor's salary for a year. We built a building, and now we're doing another 100. And then we had a record year with the President's Club for the college, and people investing every month into that college to train the next generation. I tell you what, I feel like a pastor, the greatest church in all the world. We just had the largest giving, the bucket offering back in February, and the radio ministry and all that God's done for us. But it's not what I see, it's what God knows. When God sees your life, does he see you in church a year from now if he tarries and is coming? God sees your life. Does he see you in church 5 years from now? Another pastor resigned the ministry this week. They say that 70 churches are closing their doors, 70 every week in America. America's so weak right now, so weak, because the churches are so weak. God sees the filth that's invaded our churches. I tell you what, we're all over America. We're getting rid of these pulpits all over America. And he put a guy up here in just a little bar stool, and he stands, and he's got his t-shirt on and black suit on and black, and maybe wears a sport coat, and he's up there with his tennis shoes and just talking about, this is not talking time, this is preaching time. We're not going to remove that pulpit, ladies and gentlemen. We're not going to get rid of the choir. And bring a dance band in here and bring drummers in here and bring rock and roll. We're not doing that. This is an old time religion Baptist church. But when Jesus saw that, they removed it all. The filth. I was studying this week in preparation. I don't have time to go through it, but the old King James Bible was used in the 1700s for the Great Awakening. The old King James Bible was used in the 1800s, the Great Awakening, two Great Awakenings, where this nation came back and fell on their knees before God. There's not been a revival since the 1800s because all the new paraphrase Bibles have come in. And I read this one right here, drops 154 verses out of the Bible, just drops it. And this one drops 158 verses out of the Bible. Just drops them. Puny man thinks he's more important than God. God has promised that he'd preserve his word, child of God. And God has preserved in our English-speaking language in this King James Bible. It's a good Bible. And yet pastors are right. Well, here's a young preacher who said this week online. He said, you don't need a King James Bible. But his dad preached that King James Bible. Still does. Shame on you, young man. Said, doesn't matter. Oh, it does matter. You've got to have truth when you preach the word of God. You've got to have a choir that sings. You've got to have a church that wants to tithe and give offerings to the house of God. Don't allow filth to enter into this house. One of these days I'm going to die of a heart attack or something. And I know that this church will make a decision on the next pastor. I've already made it. But I'll tell you what, get a man of God that loves that book. Get a man of God that loves the old time religion. Get a man of God that loves preaching, that loves the choir, loves music, that loves singing, that loves soul winning, that loves separation, that loves the things of God. Get a man like that, and there are plenty around yet. They've not all capitulated the filth that he found. Secondly, he found a lack of faith. He found filth. He looked. He didn't say anything. He just, before I move on, read verse 17. And he taught them, saying, It is not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer. He made it a den of thieves. He says, my house is prayer. That's what my house is. Thank God for the great army of prayer warriors we have.
Amen.
Last night I was in the auditorium below us with the men, a great crowd of men that came to prayer meeting. I know y'all can't, but the great men of God that came to prayer meeting. Amen. And the Spanish over there, the great men that came to prayer meeting. And the ladies soul winning, the prayer warriors, and the Wednesday night church services, we all prayed together. Oh, thank God for prayer.
Amen.
And then their lack of faith. Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. Jesus was still battling with his disciples and these people. And he said, I want you to have faith in God. Faith is the same word as trust in the Old Testament. Faith is found in the New Testament, but the word trust and faith are synonymous. And so when God's word says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. He said, have faith in me. Faith is believing without seeing. Faith is believing without seeing. We had some prayer requests at men's prayer last night. I can't see how God is ever going to answer those prayer requests by May 16th. I can't see how he's got them answered by that date. I can't see how he's going to do it. But I believe that God can. I believe God next Sunday will have so many, today as well, we'll have so many people here visiting that know not the Lord. And I'm not going to criticize them for coming twice a year, Easter and Sunday, Easter and Mother's Day, and maybe Easter, Mother's Day, and Christmas three times a year. Hey, I'm not going to chastise them for that. I'd rather have them come three times a year than no times. But many are going to come lost. They have no knowledge of God. They have knowledge of religion and feeling good, but they got to be saved. I want you to pray every day this week that God would so reign in the services that next Sunday we'd see a sweeping of revival in our church. God says, I want to honor faith in your life. Faith, we must be able to see what God can see. I read the account of a little orphan girl in London. You know, back about 150 years ago, they had so many orphans. Our Sunday school books we've written with the publication talks about those orphans, kids left on their own. And they called them urchins. And they crawled up into the chimneys and with the chimney sweeps. And the rich people oftentimes would have, there's little kids with the mortar, they get stuck because the further up it goes, it narrows down. And they get stuck in that mortar and they could not get out. Rich people all over London said, just light the fire, they'll burn down. And they burned these children up. It was an awful thing. And the Sunday school began in 1787, I believe it was, in London. It began to reach these urchins for Christ. A little girl, her mother had died. Her dad had died. She was put in an orphanage. And she, the first night she was in that home, she was in a Christian home. And she began to pray at her bedside as she did with her mother before her mother's tragic death. She said, Lord, give me a people, a mom and dad that would be very kind to me, like my mom and dad. In Jesus' name, amen. And then she interrupted her prayer. Because I know you will. That's faith. And that new mother heard that little girl praying and slipped into her room and said, honey, I'll never be able to replace your mama. But I could tell you right now, I love you so much. And your new daddy loves you so much. And we're going to do everything we can to answer your prayer. We're going to be kind to you. That's faith. That's faith. They didn't have faith. In the temple, they had no faith. They had filth. They didn't have faith. By the way, there's one third thing that you're missing. They did not have forgiveness. Look what the Bible says in verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may also forgive you of your trespasses. I'm almost done. Let me have you look here. Who in your heart do you need to forgive today? Is it your dad? Is it your mom? Perhaps it's your wife or your husband. Perhaps it's a grandparent. I don't know who it is, but I dare say that most people here today have a grudge or a fault against another person. That does not honor God. When God looks around, does he see an unforgiving heart? Maybe it's because I'm old now. I've lived a long life, and I've lived pastoring this church. I can't imagine having a bad spirit toward anybody. I can't imagine not loving every single person in this room. I can't imagine it. I don't think my wife can imagine it either. You've been so extremely good to us. For 50 plus years, you've been so good to us. You've been, we don't deserve people like you. I'm not going to have a bitter spirit toward a son, toward a daughter. We have three children. They're all pastors, all ministry. And they're all married. Two of our girls are pastors' wives, and then we have one son who's a pastor today. God's been so good to us, and 14 grandkids. And next month, grandbaby, my granddaughter called me this week. She said, "Papa, baby boy is coming." And she talked about baby boy all the time, baby boy. And I said, "Ashlyn, I'm just feeling, I'm not sure this is true. I'm feeling the name Jack. I'm just feeling, I just want you to know I'm feeling that name." She goes, that's a good name, Papa. I said, "Jack Perouche, that sounds like a good name." She was a Thompson and she became a Perouche. Ay, 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 ay. American guy, but Perouche? You've got to be kidding me. You know, all of our kids are in Sunday school and church this morning. I want that for my family. When I die, I want to know that my family loves God. They may not all dot their I's and cross their T's like their old papa does, but they sure love their Nana and Papa. They love God. They love the Lord. They love the church. I want to say, child of God, you cannot live another day with bitterness in your heart. We drove last night, Jesse, right by, it's amazing you're here today, drove right by your mom's house. I've had her on my mind, and she's with the Lord now. I'm glad you loved her. And you know, I go by many of these houses. Mrs. Treber and I take a 5 or 10 minute ride every night. I go by and I think of that one's passed away and that one's passed away. I hope you all have a love for people. Let's close it down. Jesus came in at eventide, nighttime, and evening time. And he looked around, just looked. He saw the filth. He saw the lack of faith. He saw the unforgiving spirit. He saw all that. But he never said a word. He walked 2 miles to Bethany, spent the night there and came back, and he dealt with it. What's God dealing with you today about? Let's use this altar this morning. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our Father, I want to thank you so much for your love for us. I want to thank you that you love us like we're your only child. And I pray tonight, God, today that you would really work in our midst as we're together. Speak to our hearts about forgiving people. Speak to our hearts about having faith in God. Speak to our hearts the filth we've allowed to invade our hearts and minds. Please, God, do a great work.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.